Did I turn it on? Let me put my eyes on so I can see if there's anybody out there. Actually, it's just so I can see the Bible. That's the only reason. I can see you fine. It's up close that I have problems with. It is a privilege to be here tonight. And I thank God for the invitation. I thank Rudy for it too. He called me about 1 o'clock this afternoon, and I had probably the first Macedonian call. He said, "Come over and help us." That's not quite what he said, but he said, "My throat's, I've been preaching in revivals for 4 or 5 weeks. My throat is sore. In fact," he said, "it's hurting. And by the way, you might want to pray for him." When you get to a point where your throat is hurting, you need some prayer, okay? But I encourage you to pray for him. I'm going to preach you a message tonight that when he called, I began to think about a little bit what I should preach on, and this came to my mind. Lester's heard it twice. The first time he heard it in about 35, 40 minutes, and the second time he heard it in about an hour and 15. I say that partly so you'll pray. If you have your Bibles tonight, and I trust you do, Romans chapter 1, I'm just going to read the one verse. I'm going to cover 32 through 16, and I do mean it that way. But Romans in chapter 1, we're going to read just verse 28 for now. When you get there, if you'll join me in standing, which most of you already have started doing that. Romans chapter 1. Verse 28, the Bible says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Follow away, thanks today and for me and blessings, Lord. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to stand tonight and to preach your word. And Father, I ask you to have your way in our hearts and our lives. Father, you touch me, and you use me for your glory and your honor tonight. That, Father, you'd open our hearts and our minds, and by your word, you would grow us, and you would change us and make us and mold us after your will. And that, Father, you would prepare us, Lord. Have your way tonight. And bless this church. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. The last time I was here, I was in 2016. I was going through cancer, and I was not doing well. Those steps are a lot easier to take now than they were then. But something happened while I was going through all that. After I had been here, I went to see my doctor, my oncologist, and his nurse practitioner was there. And she was seeing me, and I don't know if I had a cold that day or something else was going on, but I remember having a conversation with her. And I said, "It seems to me that doctors, the medical profession as such, you're more concerned about treating symptoms than sickness." And if I'm teaching your children something you don't want them to say, I apologize. But I'm going to paraphrase what she said because I don't remember word for word what she said. But she says something to the effect of, "Well, duh." That's what we do. And I began to realize that, in part, sometimes it's because it's more expensive to find out what's really wrong. And it's easier just to treat the symptom. And by treating the symptom, oftentimes you've taken care of the problem. I've twice in my life now I had a cough that would not go away, and when I went and got antibiotics, because it was bacterial, it was dealt with. But treating the cough wouldn't fix it. You had to treat the sickness. The cough, treating the symptom wouldn't fix it. All the cough drops in the world, all the Robitussin and whatever, it just wouldn't do anything to it. And unfortunately, I'm afraid sometimes that's what we do spiritually. We are going about trying to treat the symptoms and ignoring the sickness. It was a few years later after that event that took place that it came back to my mind, that conversation. And it's as if the Lord was saying, I've got a message for you to preach. That was somewhere around 2019 that I realized that I had a message to preach. And I went searching for that message. And oftentimes would have wound up here, but I couldn't see the message. I told Brother Bill Montanan about it back about that time probably. And that phrase is in my mind, sickness and symptoms. But I could not find where I was supposed to be at. The first of this year, I found it. And here we are. I read the one verse, and I want to open up. I said to you, I'm going to preach from verse 32 here in this first chapter back to verse 16. That's what I'm going to do. And it's because of what I was realizing when I was studying. I hit it from this side, and that's what I saw. I realized that, listen, there is symptoms that are being given in verses, starting in verse 29, going down. In fact, I would draw your attention to the word in verse 29, being filled. That's as opposed to the word later on that same verse saying full. Being filled. It's in the process, but it's not done. Being filled. We're beginning to fill up. It's like you got a glass sitting on the table and you got your milk and you're pouring. It's being filled. And in trying to work through this, and by the way, I spent some time with this thought, and I come up with this idea in my mind, and I switched back and forth several times, but we're dealing with the head here, okay? I first said the heart, then I went back to the head. And if I have a reason for that, and I'm not going to go into that tonight. But if you go do it and you still deal with it and you want to look at it, you might want to say the heart instead of the head. That's up to you. But the head is being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. That's where we are. We're in this process. It's being filled. By the way, symptoms are progressive. You get a cough and it's a, and then later, and then. You know what I'm saying. It gets worse as you go. And if you don't deal with it, it gets worse and worse. You have a little pain in your elbow. Some of you are too young to know what that is. But listen, you get a little, and if you don't deal with it, it gets worse. And so he's in the process of being filled. The head of the mind is being filled. And by the way, I'm relating to this idea. I got thinking about it because I was thinking about it in terms of what I was going through when I was going through the cancer. And I thought about this in terms of stage four. You know what stage five cancer is? Death. That's what it is. It's death. And I was thinking about this process. And down in verse 32, it says, who knowing the judgment of God and that they which commit such things are worthy of death. And I think that comes at the end of it being filled. When it's full. I thought about the verse that Brother Rudy just quoted. The time the Amorites wasn't yet full. The iniquity of the Amorites wasn't yet full. Is what it says in the Old Testament. We're in the time of the Gentiles. Or is that time being filled? But nonetheless, listen, there's this going on, this thought going on. But by the way, he says of this in this stage that the heart is already full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. Excuse me, malignity. It's already full. Heart's already there. And the hands are busy. The hands are already busy with whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Their hands are already doing these things. And you say, Brother John, that sounds like today. And I said, I know it. I know it. I preached a message back in 2020 just on the book of Habakkuk because of the very nature. I was like Habakkuk sitting in my watchtower looking out my portal, and I was watching people burn their cities and being incited by the news media to do so. And that's like reading Habakkuk, the first chapter. And here we are in this time that we're already seeing the things that are going on much in this place. And I would argue that if this is true and this is where we are, that we have a societal cancer. And it's stage four. And then I argued it with myself, John, if that's true, and this is truly a stage four cancer, there must be a stage three. That was easy to find. It was when I realized I actually had a stage two, and then I realized that this is easy now. I got this going, right? Because I knew what stage one was. So I got thinking about it a little bit. But before we can get there, I told you that we're dealing with symptoms and a sickness. So if these are the symptoms, what's the sickness? Why are people acting this way? These are just the symptoms of the time. If this is just what the symptoms are, what is the sickness? And I read that when I got up here tonight, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. There's the problem. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge. You know why we believe in the sanctity of human life? Because we're made in the image of God. Amen. But if we don't retain God in our knowledge, what is there about human life that is sanctified? What is there? Do you know why we believe in law? Because God is the great lawgiver, not Moses, but God is. And without God, there is no law. You know why we believe in marriage the way we do, in husband and wife, one man, one woman for life? You know why we believe that, and not two men, not two women? Because it's according to God's design. But if there is no God, there is no design. And if you don't like to retain God in your knowledge, then you have gone to a lawlessness. And you live in the stage four cancer that we have, societal cancer that we have, is a lawless society. That's what it is, because they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. So that's the sickness. So you go to Brother John, okay, keep you from preaching an hour and 15 minutes. Let's get to stage three. And so I got looking for it, and it wasn't hard to find. And by the way, didn't I say that this thing is progressive, right? So you're taking a step back in the cause, that is the sickness, but the symptoms that are there are still progressive. They're leading up to what is now, and they are progressive in their nature. Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. We got lust going on in our own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. I was born in 1968. I don't remember the 60s at all. Okay, but some 70s, I remember the 70s. I'm not like those who claim that if you remember the 70s, you weren't there. Listen, I remember the 70s. I didn't do what they did, okay? And I remember, even as a boy, seeing things in society that was not right. I sold newspapers in Monroeville, Alabama. That's not far. Caleb Mackey, by the way, went down and preached at Canaan Free Baptist Church. There's not a Free Baptist Church in Monroeville, but we attended Canaan a few times. That back when they had slats for pews, those things will pinch you. But I thought when I saw that he had gone there, I laughed. But anyway, down in Monroeville, Alabama, I used to take, my brother and I was selling newspapers, and he had half the square and I had half the square. And I walked my two sides, he walked his two sides, and we sell, I think Daddy bought 50 papers, and we had 25 apiece, and when we got through, we would go, and we would just get rid of the rest of them, sending them from the grocery store or something like that. But there was a Napa Auto Parts just off the square there that I would go and sit down. They gave me a ball cap with the Napa on it, you know, and all kind of stuff. I was a little kid. They liked, you know, the fact that I would come in and talk with them. One day a woman came in, and she said to the one guy, says, "Your mom says we might like each other." It was about closing time, and they disappeared into the back. The other one that was there says, "It's time to go. You want me to give you a ride home?" And we went back to the back and went out the back door. And he hollered at the bathroom and says, "We're leaving." He said, "You locked the front door?" He said, "No." And we left. I'm going to tell you something. The nature of mankind I saw in the 70s was not good. And it was on TV too. Didn't get any better. But you understand that we are caught up in the lust of their own hearts. And it's progressive. Did I not say that? And in verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which is was meet." Listen. You find this, a progressive nature. We tore down the boundaries of sexuality. We became, I was watching a movie, a somewhat documentary. You may have seen them. There's one of them called Gettysburg, and another one's Gods and Generals, and there's a third one, and I don't remember what the name of it is, but they're more of a documentary-style movie series on the Civil War. And it was brought up around a campfire that one of the things they were dealing with then was, there's two things. One was evolution, because Darwin had just published his book. And the other thing was free love. And I thought, then? And that's what's going on in this time, in this lawless sexuality that's going on. They're moving from this free love to this free sickness. And understand that what we have done is, because we tore down the boundaries of marriage in that time, it created the issue of homosexuality. We would turn our back on two people living together outside the bounds of marriage. Ignore it. But then we would complain about homosexuality. It's progressive. One led into the other. And so you come here and you say, "Well, Brother John, what's the sickness?" If that's the symptoms, if this lawless sexuality is a symptom, what is the sickness? And I would draw your attention to verse 25. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen." We changed the truth of God into a lie. And there's two things that I think of when I think about this. And one plays off the other. Okay? And I think about evolution. You understand that God is creator. And the very basis of evolution is that there is no God. That's what we just dealt with in the stage four. In stage three, we're dealing with the change of that truth to lie, and we're trying to promote evolution. And listen, if you are evolved, you're little more than an animal. That's really what the promotion is. And so if you live by instinct, because you're an animal. By the way, the other part of that is also humanism, which comes out of evolution. It plays together, and you're worshiping yourself, or you're worshiping in ecology. If you want to get into it, you can worship the world if you want to, but you're worshiping yourself in humanism. And listen, there is that problem. If you're worshiping yourself, all you're concerned about is pleasing yourself. So I thought, as I come to this place, I said, okay, there's a lawless society. There's a lawless sexuality. What is stage two? And I got looking just a little bit back, didn't go very far. And guess what? I found that it was progressive. The symptoms are progressive. You say, Brother John, are you certain of that? Yeah. In fact, look at verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. That's a progression. They become fools. In fact, in verse 23, it says, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They're taking the monotheistic understanding of one God and becoming very polytheistic in their understanding. It's a progression. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Verse 21, the second half. I'm going to start right at that word, but, became. Okay, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Progression. They became vain in their imaginations, empty imaginations. And listen, they became vile in their, what's the word I'm looking for? Their foolish heart was darkened, the darkening of their hearts. Progression. And listen, To get through this quickly, let me go ahead and go to the sickness in first part of that 21. Because that which they knew, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. I was sitting here just a minute ago thinking about this beautiful rock work behind us and the little images of the little rocks that are in there representing different things. And I was thinking how beautiful that is. And I wondered, have y'all gotten used to that rock wall? Do y'all still look at it the same way you used to? I think about that waterfall that you don't run during the service because it's so noisy, but how beautiful that is. I remember the first time I stepped foot into this church. Scott and Stephanie Agee were getting married here, and I thought how beautiful this church is. And I wonder sometimes if we lose the appreciation of the beauty that we have about us. The Bible says in the Psalms 19 that the heavens declare the handiwork of God. And I still go out at night. We'll get home tonight, and if it'll be cloudy, I won't do it tonight. But sometimes it's not cloudy and it's clear, and I'll look up. And the other night we did so, and the Milky Way was just right there, and I thought how beautiful that is. The Big Dipper usually is in that situation where I was looking at, the Big Dipper's usually right there. And it's the right time of year, I can turn around and I can see Orion, his belt. And I think about how beautiful the sky is at night. I don't do like I used to. I don't lay down in the grass and it takes too long to get back up. But and lay there and look at the clouds. But sometimes Wouldn't that be nice? To value what the creation is, what God has done, and yet I think somehow we do that with God. Knowing God, knowing what He is, and knowing who He is and what He has done, knowing that He is the Creator and He's the Sustainer, and He sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins, and that He is Jesus is coming again one day to take Him to Himself, that all these things are true, and that it's we're going to a place that is beyond description. And somehow we think that it's me. I'm a self-made man. Paul said, I have nothing that wasn't given me. We have here a lawless spirituality in which we will refuse to glorify God. I was raised in a little bit different tradition than what people around here mostly were. You would hear amen all through the house, but rarely would you see someone raise their hand, and I'm not going to do that. Oh, I'm going to do this arm, okay? Rarely would you see anybody raise their hand. There were a few that would do so. And never did you hear anybody go, "Woo!" Nobody jumped. We would have. First time Sybil did that, my ear, I did. But in the service, when the Spirit was moving, tears would fall. And people still came to the altar and prayed. Hearts were still touched. But they, like people here in this region, don't praise God like they used to. All the spirituality will not recognize God. That's stage two. There's got to be a stage one. If that's true, then there's a stage one, and I found it in here too. Listen, we dealt with a lawless society. That's the last of it, but it came from a lawless sexuality, which deals with the home, a brokenness of it, which comes from a lawless spirituality, which deals with the church. I backed up a little bit more. In verse 20, I did tell you I was going from verse 32 to verse 16, right? Verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And by the way, these verses here parallel with Psalm 19 I mentioned a while ago. But what I have found is that we have come back to a place full circle. Stage four, I was talking about the things in which the hands and the heart and the head, and I've come back to the physical aspect of things, because what has happened is we have lost our vision, because it's clearly seen and we don't see it. We've lost our vision. If we can't see what's clearly seen, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. We've lost our vision. That's stage one. Part of it anyway. Verse 19, because that which was maybe known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. And by the way, there's two parts there. It's been revealed in, and it's been showed unto. And guess what's happened? We've lost our memory. You thought that came later in life. That's happening up front. We can't see and we've lost our memory. That's stage one. We can't see what God is doing. We don't remember what God has done. We won't hold him into our inside of us. And these are the symptoms of what is going on about us. And to quickly move through this, verse 18. It's the second part of this, but it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." That word "hold" there literally means to hold back or to withhold. There's an idea here that the truth of God is being withheld or being held back. And by the way, the term unrighteousness is a judicial term. It's a legal term, and it points to the guilt of the one holding down the truth or repressing it. Listen, it's being done on purpose that people, because it affects themselves and it convicts their own hearts, they are withholding and holding back the truth. They don't want to speak it out. They don't want to share it. They don't want, because it bothers them. Personal. It's a lawless sensibility. Forget about society. Forget about the marriage. Forget about the church. This is an individual who has lost his vision, who has lost his memory, who can't see what God is doing, and he will not admit the truth. Four stages. Count that other one, the death part, that's five, right? I don't want to leave you sick. I've got the cure. It's right here. I found it. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." It's a quote from Habakkuk 2 and 4 where he says, "The just shall live by his faith." Here in Romans, he's referring to being justified. The just shall live by his faith. In Galatians, where he also quotes it there, he's dealing with living. The just shall live. And in Hebrews, where it's quoted over in chapter 10 of that, he's dealing with faith part of that. It's like the books are a commentary on that one verse, Habakkuk. The just, listen, we're dying. The cancer is growing in this nation. You want life? The just shall live by faith. It's found in faith. In fact, if I may take you back one more step, Paul said here, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." There's power in that. And listen, he's saying that the gospel, put your faith in the gospel. That's where the life is. That's where the life is. You want to stop the cancer in this country? Give them Jesus. Tell them about a man who died on a cross for their sins. You want to stop the cancer that's tearing apart marriages and is ruining society from that standpoint? Show them Jesus. You want to fix the problems in church? Don't we all? Somebody said, "Do you have any problems in your church?" And said, "We got people, don't we?" Bring Christ in there too. We had an association this week up Yankee Town, Stone Association. I had the privilege of preaching on Thursday morning. Friday morning, several ladies that got up, good singers to sing. It's Debbie Rogers and Pam Rogers and Darlene Jones. And if you know those names, you know that they're good singers and they can play the piano well too. And Cindy Hullums got up to sing. She didn't sing as well as they did. At one time, maybe she could have. She had a seizure a couple of years back. Her dad, Charles West, has lost his wife, and so she's lost her mother. And she had a seizure, and she's losing her eyesight. And you can tell by the way she stands there in her face that she has physical problems. And she began to sing about God's blessing on her life. I'm going to tell you, church, I'm telling you this because it's important to be obedient. A thought crossed my mind, how great thou art. And as she moved from the piano to go sit down, I got up to sing. I'm not a singer, much of a singer at all. Brother Bill said I could. He was talking about this, and he said, Brother John's not a singer. He can sing, but he's not. Those ladies did a much better job singing than he does, okay? I agree. I'm not a singer. But when I sing How Great Thou Art, if I sing it right, I'm in worship. And I don't care if you're hearing me or not. I'm worshiping God. And on every time I came to that course, the congregation joined me in worship. And the sweetest spirit fell across that room. And it was just because people were being obedient and worshiping God. Sam Davis was preaching that morning. He said, he told me later, said, John, I couldn't wait for your heart to get, for you to get through. He said, as soon as I got through singing and started going off the stage, he was running up to the stage to start preaching. It's a wonderful service. We have a cancer in the land. And until we get back down to the business of being the people of God, we'll not do anything about it. And we need to get down to being in the business of being the people of God first and foremost. Let's get a song. Everyone stand. Brother Rudy, why don't you come on?
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed tonight. We live in a time that if it doesn't change, our nation will no longer exist. We once knew him, and we can go through the stages as John talked about tonight in our nation. The Bible said the nation that forgetteth God shall be turned into hell. And this nation has, but you haven't. Tonight, I think the message to me called me to examine my life, to examine what I'm doing, and am I doing what I need to be for His glory? And tonight, I want you to write where you are, and the invitation's to you. The altar's open. Just pray. I've thought a lot about what a godly man used to pray for himself, A.J. Gordon. I've mentioned it here. And he said to God, be thorough with me, O God. Be thorough with me. Would you allow God to do that tonight? To speak to your heart? Father, we're about to sing. We pray, Lord, that you would touch our hearts tonight. It was to understand that things get worse and worse until we turn to you. And God, they will never get better without you. We pray, Lord, that you would touch our hearts, our lives, each one that is here. May we not only feel your presence, may it change our life. And we'll give you praise and give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother, what do we have? Okay, 165. Sing. Meet you there. Come. Everything begins and ends at the cross.